Good afternoon, everybody. This is the afternoon session of the Portland City Council on July 21st, 2021. Good afternoon, Keelan. Could you please call the roll?
Good afternoon, Mayor. Good afternoon, Commissioners. Hardesty.
Here.
Maps.
Here.
Rubio.
Here.
Ryan.
Here.
Wheeler.
Here. Under Portland City Code and State Law, the City Council is holding this meeting electronically. All members of the Council are attending remotely by video and teleconference, and the City has made several avenues available for the public to listen to the audio broadcast of this meeting. The meeting is available to the public on the City's YouTube channel, eGovPDX, www.portlandoregon.gov/video, and Channel 30. The public can also provide written testimony to the Council by emailing the Council Clerk at cctestimony@portlandoregon.gov. Council is taking these steps as a result of the COVID-19 pandemic and the need to limit in-person contact and to promote physical distancing. The pandemic is an emergency that threatens the public health, safety, and welfare, which requires us to meet remotely by electronic communications. Thank you all for your patience, your flexibility, and your understanding as we manage through this difficult situation to conduct the city's business. And with that, we'll hear from legal counsel on the rules of order and decorum. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. To participate in council meetings, you may sign up in advance with the council clerk's office for communications to briefly speak about any subject. You may also sign up for public testimony on resolutions or the first readings of ordinances. The published council agenda at portlandoregon.gov/auditor contains information about how and when you may sign up for testimony while the city council is holding electronic meetings. Your testimony should address the matter being considered at the time. When testifying, please state your name for the record. Your address is not necessary. Please disclose if you are a lobbyist, and if you are representing an organization, please identify it. The presiding officer determines the length of testimony. Individuals generally have 3 minutes to testify unless otherwise stated. When your time is up, the presiding officer will ask you to conclude. Disruptive conduct such as shouting, refusing to conclude your testimony when your time is up, or interrupting others' testimony or council deliberations will not be allowed. If there are disruptions, a warning will be given that further disruption may result in the person being placed on hold or ejected from the remainder of the electronic meeting. Please be aware that all council meetings are recorded.
Thank you very much. We only have one item on this afternoon's agenda. It's a resolution, item number 587. Please, Keelan.
Adopt the Columbia Lombard Mobility Corridor Plan and its recommendations.
Commissioner Hardesty.
Thank you, Mayor. This afternoon, we have before us the Columbia Lombard Mobility Plan for council review and possible adoption. This is a much needed plan to guide future investment opportunities in these challenging and important corridors in the far north of our city. The recommendations in this plan are the result of just over 2 years of a community-driven planning process that identified a myriad of deficiencies and needs along these two high crash corridors. Suffice to say, there are a ton of details in this document, and we have the great staff at PBOT here to walk us through it, as well as community members who were closely involved in its creation. I also want to thank all the community members who participated and look forward to the conversation. At this point, I will turn it over to PBOT's Policy Planning and Projects Manager, Art Pierce, to kick off the conversation. Hi, Art, welcome.
Hello, Commissioner and Council. Thanks for including me in this conversation today. Really excited to introduce the Columbia Lombard Plan to City Council. This has been a really deliberative effort with transportation in partnership with adjacent community and key stakeholders. That produces a long-range vision for these two very complicated high-crash corridors. Both Columbia and Lombard carry high volumes of freight traffic, but are also used by people walking and cycling. The plan aims to balance and maintaining reliable freight movement while also improving safety and access across the corridors. We're really grateful for the collaboration with ODOT on developing the plan, as well as the assistance from the plan's advisory committee and input from the public. The plans provides good clarity on the function of these two corridors and potential funding sources, and really gives us a path forward to make sure these serve our community's needs. I think I'll pass it to Mauricio and Brian to say more.
In interest of time, I'll just pass it on to Brian Poole. He was the lead for the project.
Thank you.
Great. Thank you, Commissioner Hardesty, and thanks for the introduction, Art. I'm going to go ahead and try to share my screen. And we can get going. So again, thank you very much for members of council for considering this item. Again, my name is Brian Poole, and I was the lead planner on the development of this Columbia Longboard Mobility Corridor Plan. So with me today is Mauricio Leclerc and my fellow planner, Zeph Wagner, to help answer questions. And we're excited to share an overview of the plan's recommendations and key projects. But first, I just thought it'd be helpful to share a quick video that provides an overview of the corridors and the plan process. So let me see. Can you all hear that?
There's no sound.
There's no sound. Let me try. I was worried that was going to happen. Let me try something. If we can't get the sound.
Brian, I think you have to unshare when you share audio as part of the process.
Okay, let me try that one more time. There we go, share sound. Thank you. All right.
This region originally was a high-trafficked corridor. Historically, it was a trade corridor for indigenous populations, and it is today.
It's the state's largest economic corridor. It's where most of our export goods move through. The Columbia Corridor and Columbia Boulevard and Lombard are really the core of our industrial sector.
During the last 2 years, we've worked with the community to identify needs and prioritize improvements. The purpose of the Columbia Lombard Mobility Plan is to identify ways to improve safety, freight movement, access to jobs, services, recreation, and opportunities. The focus of the plan is generally on the two corridors between I-5 and I-205, as well as connections across the corridor or parallel routes within a half mile. To the north of Lombard Street is primarily industrial, and the area to the south is primarily residential.
Yeah, access to me means to actually have, you know, sidewalks and improved roads and safe railroad crossing and, you know, side streets you can drive down.
At OHS, we have a lot of staff and volunteers that are avid cyclists, people who like to get around on foot or on their bikes, and I think that if there was a safe way to do it, we'd have a lot more people doing that. Many of our clients are coming here via public transit or, you know, walking a long distance from those buses with their pets, you know, and it's not safe for them or their animals.
One of the problems with congestion is that as we slow down the trucks moving down the street, it means they can do less during the day. Reducing the deliveries creates other problems, other economic problems. So really what we need to do is make sure that those trucks that are on the road are moving down the road efficiently.
In the early summer of 2019, we asked residents to identify the issues you were experiencing on the corridor and share ideas for improvements. Almost 1,500 comments were left on an interactive map that pointed out issues such as dangerous intersections and on and off ramps, difficult merge points, pavement condition issues, and the need for sidewalks and bicycle connections. These comments, along with analysis of the existing conditions, were used to develop the projects. The recommendations for Columbia Boulevard aim to improve safety and access while maintaining freight movement and travel time reliability. On Lombard, the projects are intended to manage excessive speeds, improve conditions for walking and biking, and add more crossings. Additionally, there are projects that improve access to jobs and recreation for people walking and biking, and create low-stress routes across and parallel to the corridors.
One of the things that's really interesting to me about the corridor is how close we are to the Columbia Slough. You know, here at OHS, we actually have like a little secret gem in the back. We have a native woodland that's home to a lot of native species.
The ideal corridor for me is continuing that great mix of wildlife habitat, family wage jobs, and industrial areas as well.
An ideal corridor would feel less chaotic, more accessible. It would be safer, and that's what I think our community needs and our community wants.
The recommendations in the Columbia-Lombard Mobility Corridor Plan seek to achieve these goals, continuing to sustain the balance of industrial jobs and natural habitat while providing safer travel and access for all users. To learn more, please visit the project website.
So I hope that gives just a nice overview of the planning process and the focus. But really, this plan's benefited greatly from participation from the community and stakeholders. And so just first off, I want to especially thank the members of our project stakeholder advisory committee, some of whom are joining us today. Their commitment to collaboration was a really critical element in this process to develop all the recommendations in this plan. And I also just want to thank our consultants that helped us with this plan, HDR and Alta Planning and Design. The goal of this plan really is to develop projects and strategies to improve safety, connectivity, and access both along the Columbia and Lombard corridors, but also across them, and then improve the reliability of freight movement through a critical industrial area of our city. So this conceptual map really just shows how the corridors function to separate the residential and industrial land uses, but that there's also some businesses and restaurants in a more mixed use area adjacent to Lombard in that western part of the study area that you can see. And as I mentioned, a really primary goal of this project is addressing the high rate of crashes on both of these corridors that result in serious injuries and fatalities. Both of these corridors are on our high crash network. And shown here is a heat map of all of the crashes that happened between 2012 and 2016. So you can see the hot spots and then also the triangles that indicate fatal crashes and the circles that indicate serious injury crashes. So on Columbia Boulevard, the serious and fatal crashes are really are generally spread out. There's some clustering around Northeast 33rd Avenue. And then on Lombard Street, many of the crashes in the west are ones that involve bicyclists and pedestrians, with also a cluster of crashes between Northeast 33rd and 60th Avenues. And many of these are the result of high speeds. And unfortunately, since 2016, 15 more people have been killed on these corridors. So after this data, 7 on Columbia Boulevard and 8 on Lombard Street. So the issues continue to persist on these corridors. But in addition to addressing crashes, we really also wanted to hear from residents about the issues and needs that they experience while using or crossing the corridors. So we engaged with the public through this process in a variety of ways. We had an online map, tabling at community events, presenting to neighborhood groups, and also just benefiting, as I said before, from the diverse community advisory group that helped us develop and prioritize the different projects. And so using data and feedback from the public that we heard, we developed more than 50 project recommendations. And a full list of these can be found in Appendix F. But in general, just sort of the key themes for these projects are that they intend to, one, better delineate Columbia Boulevard as a freight corridor, and improve travel time reliability on that corridor, but also access and safety. And then second is improving safety on Lombard Street. So doing that by better managing speeds, especially high-end speeding, improving walking and biking facilities, and adding crossings. And then third is improving north-south connectivity, especially for people walking and biking, to be able to access the jobs along and adjacent to Columbia Boulevard, and also the recreational opportunities north of Columbia Boulevard. Fourth, providing low-stress east-west bicycle routes, so really routes that parallel the Columbia and Lombard corridors, and then improving travel time predictability, as well as safety at rail crossings. And this slide just really gives us a snapshot of some of the recommendations in the plan, but showing that they range on Columbia Boulevard, for example, here, to filling sidewalk gaps, improving transit amenities and access, but also looking at some safety and access at key intersections. As the bottom right shows, improving access on 11th Avenue to the Oregon Humane Society, and then also improving and working with other agencies like Union Pacific Railroad on issues such as here on the Union Pacific Railroad Bridge, where overdimensional freight route is currently, this bridge is too low and they cannot use it. So working with them to raise that and provide, allow Columbia Boulevard to be more of the overdimensional freight route. And the plan also recommends street modifications on both corridors. So in this section of Columbia Boulevard, currently, as you can see on the bottom, the road goes from 5 lanes to 3 lanes. This impacts freight reliability as well as conditions for people driving. We've had in our long range plans for a long time to widen this section of road to 5 lanes. But in the planning process and doing more work, we found that it was feasible in the near term to be able to restripe this road as 4 lanes and at least allow eastbound traffic to reach the Coley and Alderwood intersections to expedite movement of freight up to 82nd Avenue and the airport. And then on Lombard Street, many of the recommendations focus on improving the conditions for people walking and biking, both on the corridor and crossing the corridor, as well as reducing high-end speeding. So there's recommendations also to improve some critical conflict points that we found, like at the I-5 on-ramps, 11th Avenue, and 42nd Avenue. We also have some different recommendations for lane modifications on Lombard Street to improve safety. So this illustrates two different concepts that we are proposing to advance and working with ODOT, who maintains Lombard Street, to further advance and for consideration. One of these would reduce the travel lanes from 2 lanes in each direction to 1 and add bike lanes. And then the other keeps 2 lanes, but separates vehicles traveling in alternate directions to improve safety. And then between 11th and 60th Avenues, which is where we see a lot of high-end speeding crashes, we also have two concepts, one of which would convert a westbound lane to a median and turn pocket. So removing one of the westbound turn lanes to do that. And then the other would add a median and turn pocket, but remove the parking that exists there now. We are recommending that we work further with ODOT to determine which of these options would be could go further into design. And then to improve conditions for people biking, we propose really developing a ladder of strategies or network of east-west and north-south routes to provide comfortable alternatives to using Columbia or Lombard. So the east-west rails of the ladder are using the Columbia Slough Trail and some existing or recommended neighborhood greenways, and then improving multiple north-south connections across the corridors to provide that access and connectivity. And then the plan also has some other non-project recommendations for how to improve safety, access, and freight reliability. You can see the list here, but it includes better management of driveways, integrating stormwater management, improving sidewalks, noise, addressing noise and other pollution, and some other really improving transit service and regional freight movement as well. And then, as I mentioned, we have more than 50 projects in the recommendations, and we really see all of these projects as good projects, but we designated each one as either a high, medium, or low readiness. And what that does is really just helps focus the Bureau's work plan, but also sets expectations for the public of when they can expect to see these projects sort of move forward. And the timeline that we show below really gives a high level estimate for each project, but the actual timeline would be dependent on a variety of factors. And I just want to flag that this plan that we've developed really builds on a number of other improvements that are happening along or near these corridors. It includes an ODOT funded lane reduction project on Lombard Street that's just to the west of our planned study area, which is going to narrow the road and add bike lanes, or narrow the lanes from two lanes in each direction to one with adding bike lanes. We have a number of new signals coming into on Columbia Boulevard, a new jobs connector transit shuttle that's gonna connect the Park Rose and Coley neighborhoods to those industrial jobs, a new 42nd Avenue bridge, and then a number of projects in the Coley neighborhood. And in summary, the plan does propose a number of changes and additions to the transportation system plan. So these projects will be further evaluated and incorporated when we do the next TSP update. And so they'll be brought to City Council for adoption at a later time. But overall, we're really excited about the potential of this plan and the impact that it will have on improving safety, on improving access and mobility, both along and across these critical corridors in the city. And with that, I'm now happy to answer any questions you have.
We have a question from Commissioner Hardest.
Thank you, Mayor, and thank you, Brian. That was a really detailed presentation and I'm really appreciative of it. I'm curious as to whether TriMet was a part of this effort and whether or not they are planning to expand transit access as you are making these improvements, especially on Lombard and Columbia Boulevard.
Yeah, thanks for that question. TriMet was a partner on this plan and was part of our technical advisory committee. And right now, one of the complaints we've heard is that the bus has to, it does serve or provide access to NEA, but it does so infrequently and it has to somewhat go out of direction to do so. And so one of the sort of great opportunities that developed when we were doing this plan is TriMet's building a new bus barn at 42nd Avenue. And so we're continuing to work with them, but it sounds like there's a possibility of extending a new service line on Columbia Boulevard all the way to that bus barn that would improve access along Columbia Boulevard. And so what we would really want to do and work with them on is ensuring that the transit stops and the crossings are adequate so that we can, provide the sort of necessary walking environment to access buses safely.
Thank you. I was very glad to see you come back from five lanes, expanding from three lanes to five. Mm-hmm. And I really would hope that we consider whether a Rose Lane would be helpful in moving traffic better. I know the Columbia Corridor Association is really desperate to get folks employed at different times of the day. And so I'm very happy to see that they are part of the advisory committee to help us think through both serving the needs of commuters and transit, different modes of transportation through these two areas, but also really hopeful that we can help to ensure that there's adequate transportation to those living wage jobs that they are desperate to hire people for.
Yeah, that's a great point.
Sounds really, really very thoughtful. Clearly, there was a lot of work that went into this, and I look forward to how we move it forward. I did have one last question. Mm-hmm. Are there things that would move up on your long-term list if we identified federal resources that would help us get those projects done sooner?
That's a great question. I was wondering, Zeph, do you wanna weigh in on that question?
Yeah, hi everybody, hi City Council members. I'm Zeph Wagner, I was part of the team. I do work a lot on funding resources. I would say I'm encouraged by what I'm hearing at the federal level for the Build Back Better program. I think what would really help is bridge funding in particular. There's several bridges across the railroad tracks and Columbia and Lombard that if we could rebuild those, it would be good for seismic resiliency. It would be good for pedestrians and bicyclists who don't have those facilities, be good for freight safety. So we have a real lack of resources for bridges in particular, but also just more funding for multi-use path trails. That came up a lot. The Columbia Slough Trail is a huge community asset, but it's disconnected. And to fill those gaps, we would really need a lot more federal funding programs. So those are two things that come to mind.
Thank you. That's all the questions I have, Mayor. Did I hear you had invited testimony as well from your advisory committee?
They're not specifically invited, but we have invited them, and I think they've signed up to speak. Yes.
All right. Well, why don't we get to that, Keelan? How many folks do we have signed up for public testimony?
We have two people signed up.
All right. Good. 3 minutes each, please. Name for the record.
First up, we have Ashley Evans.
Good afternoon, Ashley.
Hi there. I'm Ashley Evans. I've been lucky enough to have served on this advisory committee with Brian for the last couple of years. But today I'm here on behalf of the Oregon Humane Society. The Oregon Humane Society has been serving the community for 153 years. We find homes for upwards of 11,000 animals each year and provide low-cost spay and neuter services to more than 4,000 residents. We're currently expanding our campus and will be opening a community veterinary hospital that will provide subsidized low-cost veterinary care to our community, something that doesn't exist now. And this is to help keep pets and families and preserve the human-animal bond. We currently have 180 employees and over 6,000 volunteers. And in pre-COVID times, we saw more than 130,000 guests walk through our doors each year, which is a lot of traffic. Our organization is in the heart of the Columbia Corridor. We're at Columbia Boulevard and 11th Avenue. Our organization is not currently served by any public transit, and the closest crosswalk is a quarter of a mile away. So if you can imagine trying to walk up Columbia Boulevard, carrying your beloved pet in a carrier on the way to an appointment, you'll understand how stressful and dangerous that journey is, both for the person and for the pet. Accessing our facility, whether you're a client, volunteer, or staff member, is dangerous. Just this Monday, a client pulling into our parking lot to adopt a kitten was hit by a truck. They survived, but it was traumatic for everyone involved. And unfortunately, responding to car accidents in front of our facility is not an uncommon event. In order for us to continue our life-saving work and reaching more people in our community, we need this plan to be adopted. Adding a traffic signal at 11th and Columbia would have a tremendous impact on the clients that we serve and provide better access for those that do not have vehicles. If you look at the survey results, you'll see that there's overwhelming support for this project. I know I have at least a few hundred staff and volunteers rallying behind me, and I really hope that you'll consider adopting this project. And that's all I had. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Next up, we have Emerald Bogue.
Welcome. Emerald, Hermold, it looks like you're still muted. There we are.
Here I am. Sorry about that.
No worries. Good to see you.
Just a second to get it right. Good afternoon, Mayor and Commissioners. My name is Emerald Bogue, and I'm the Director of Regional Government and Community Affairs at the Port of Portland. Here today as a member of the Stakeholder Advisory Committee and to share the port's support for this plan and really our gratitude for the process and leadership. This planning process, really honestly, it could have easily devolved into a very unproductive and divisive conversation about freight movement versus pedestrian access or any other form of a modal fight. It didn't. And that's really because PBOT set the table right from moment one by taking time to articulate the unique complexity of this part of the city. They did a really fantastic job. The state of Oregon is hugely dependent on trade, and the Columbia Corridor is the hub and gateway for a ton of that activity. This means that everything moving around, be it on a truck, a train, or a plane, it needs to get somewhere on time. And there are big impacts in our economy when that isn't the case. Similar logic, the same thing applies to the literally tens of thousands of workers clocking in at all hours, at really a very wide diversity of jobs in the Columbia Corridor, ranging from PDX concessions to advanced manufacturing. It's in all of our interests that this corridor remain functional, efficient, yes, but most importantly, safe for all users. There's so much work to do to make this a reality as our city rapidly grows around this region. But this plan sets us on the right path and provides the right foundation for future decisions, the easy ones and the hard ones. The port, we're very thankful to have been included in this process, and we look forward to our continued collaboration as we implement these projects. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Emerald. Appreciate it. That completes public testimony, is that correct?
Yes, that's correct.
All right, well, colleagues, this is a resolution. If there's no further questions or comments, we may call the roll. Keelan.
Hardesty.
Oh, wait, Commissioner Ryan just put his hand up. Commissioner Ryan.
Sorry, I was a little slow. great presentation. Thank you, PBOT. I noticed, Brian, that you had options one and option two. And so if we go forward, we're just going forward with both options.
Yeah, we think that both options would improve safety, but we need, and really the two options are on ODOT maintained facility, Lombard Street. And so the reason why we have two is because we'll need to do more analysis with ODOT to see which of those would sort of meet the sort of, I guess would be acceptable to them, but also, you know, improve safety. So we think that both of those options would be a dramatic safety improvement. Yeah. And so we'll be working with them, yeah.
Yeah, I was struck with that. They were different though. And I live in that part of town. I know both arterials really well. I drive on them frequently. And safety, of course, is the first thing to think about and to implement. Both of them seem to do that. I was taken with the testimony from Port of Portland, because again, it's a, we don't have a lot of parts of town where you can do industrial movement that actually is efficient. And we need that, especially where everything comes together there in North Portland with the airport and all the industrial land. So it seemed like one option allows there to maintain the two lanes on each side with safety and can also improve and have safe lanes for bikes with it have a bumper in between. Correct? Did I see that?
Correct. Yeah.
It looked too good to be true. It looked like, you know, you're providing all the efficiency to move things, and then you also provided safety. Whereas the other one eliminated two lanes. And I'm really concerned if we eliminate a lane in each direction in that high traffic volume industrial part of town that we're pretending that we're not cognizant of what that the reality of that area is in terms of the commerce for our area.
Yeah, and if it's okay for me to share my screen again, yeah. I can just
there you go.
That. Yeah, so this is the section between I-5 and MLK.
Right.
So there is actually, it's a pretty high traffic volume in this section right now. A lot of freight movement, but also a lot of people that you're using sort of, you know, I-5, MLK, connecting freeways. And so we sort of understand that this would have impacts, that taking away a lane in each direction would have impacts, and might see, cause diversion to other streets.
This is Lombard in the more, this is more the residential part of this.
This section's more residential,
I was thinking beyond MLK going east.
This section.
There you go,
Which is with the railroad to the north, and then some residential to the south. But you can see here that it's currently two lanes in each direction with a median in the middle. I mean, essentially just a painted yellow line in the middle.
Right, I know that area really well, right.
Yeah, so this top option would allow this parking here to remain. But by doing so, we would convert westbound lanes to more of a median and a turn pocket. So that separates vehicles traveling in alternate directions.
Yeah.
And then also creates a turn pocket. The bottom option keeps the sort of current lane configuration, but widens it slightly to add a median and turn pocket. But to do so, we would remove this parking area.
Right, right. And if a bus, we were talking about improving the bus access there. What would a bus do when it goes to a stop? It obviously can't go into the bike lane. I'm into option two is where my brain's at the moment. Yeah.
I would say, Commissioner Ryan, TriMet has no plans to put bus service on this section of Lombard. They're planning to add service on Columbia Boulevard in this area.
I just did that thing right. I went to Columbia Boulevard and I'm still on Lombard. Sorry about that.
Yeah, so we wouldn't have to accommodate bus stops here. It wouldn't really work because of the train tracks being on one side anyway. So we recommended carrying both of these options forward because they, as you noticed, they have different trade-offs. The one on the top, we did some traffic analysis showing that we think it would operate acceptably from a congestion standpoint and meet ODOT's requirements, but ODOT wasn't prepared to just say, yes, that's okay, because it really requires a lot of analysis to see where would that traffic go.
Right.
Are we just gonna add it to Columbia Boulevard and cause problems for freight there? So it just requires a lot more work. An advantage of the bottom one is that it does provide protected bike lanes in both directions.
You don't see a lot of parking along there. I don't recall seeing a lot of parking along there. But anyway, now that we're on this one, this is the one I was thinking about. The other one in the residential area, I was more open to option one, but on this one, I have some attachment to option two, because it would allow the efficiency to keep moving along. And I see four cars, it looks like, in this. I hardly ever see four cars. There's usually always a truck going by. Yeah.
Yeah. One of the things we heard from the freight community was that freight movement and access is actually pretty good in this corridor. And what they don't want is for us to make it worse. So that was part of our guiding principles, was to see if there are appropriate ways to provide better walking and biking facilities and safety improvements, but not have a really negative impact on that essential goods movement. And so that's what the balance we're trying to strike.
Did you have similar visuals for Columbia Boulevard in this area, or was it just Lombard?
So on Columbia Boulevard, we only have this one section. Let me go back. Where we're recommending a street modification, because really the sort of traffic volumes and just sheer volume of freight movement necessitates two lanes in each direction with this sort of center median. So we do propose in some places providing some access management, so essentially making this a median. But for the most part, it's maintaining the five lane cross section, where this section, as we mentioned, drops. You see the lane sort of goes from 2 to 1, and that's where a lot of congestion happens beyond 60th Avenue.
And then they come together at what, Killingsworth?
Yeah.
Our recommendations for Columbia Boulevard, I would say, are a lot more specific to certain intersections. So signal reconstruction projects, making the signal heads more visible, consolidating driveways, because there's so many driveways, putting smaller medians periodically in the center turn lane. That helps break up the road and helps slow down traffic when there's just, it's not such a wide open expanse of pavement. So it's a little more programmatic and site specific along Columbia, because the crash data shows that most of the crashes are happening at specific complex intersections rather than in between those intersections.
Makes sense. All right, I appreciate it. Thanks for bringing up the visuals again.
Yeah, of course.
Very good. Any other questions? Seeing none, Keelan, please call the roll.
Artisty.
Thank you, Commissioner Ryan, for those additional questions. This is when you're trying to repair roads that you don't own, it becomes a bit more challenging, especially working with ODOT to make sure that they are also equal partners with us in doing these developments. So let me just say, I really appreciate you putting those questions on the record. And I really want to compliment Brian. It's rare that we hear from an oversight board put together to solve these things that we put it together right from the beginning. I'm going to remember that phrase for a while. It's good work. It's good forward thinking and really very thoughtful of thinking about who are the right people to be at the table from the very beginning. This is really, really good work. And I'm very appreciative of all the good people at PBOT who made this happen. I'm happy to vote aye.
Maps.
I'd like to thank Commissioner Hardy, Stee, and PBOT for bringing this important item forward. I vote aye.
Rubio.
I too would like to thank Commissioner Hardesty and PBOT for bringing this forward. I'm really impressed with this work and the level at the level and the diversity of the sector and community engagement that resulted in this plan. Finding alignment in projects like these aren't always easy when we're talking about jobs and safety and transportation and community and environmental factors. They're all in the mix. So it's come together really well here. So I know there are still a lot of open questions to answer and be explored, but overall I'm supportive of the direction and look forward to following the progress of this project. I vote aye.
Ryan.
Yes, thank you, Commissioner Hardesty. This was actually fun. I enjoyed the presentation. Seth and Brian, good job. And it's really helpful for me to remember Highway 30. So we share this with ODOT and the complications with that. And I appreciate your questions about TriMet. So I realize in our form of government, we have a lot of different agencies that we must bump up against. But back to just complimenting how you set the table, Emerald from the Port of Portland, you know, set it right. You set the table right. And you could tell by those options that you presented that you had multiple point of views at the table. And I just wanted to have a chance to weigh in a little bit on one of them. So anyway, great presentation. I vote aye.
Wheeler.
I want to thank Commissioner Hardesty, all the good folks at PBOT, as well as the Project Stakeholder Advisory Committee for your incredible work. This is one of the reasons I really appreciate the citizen involvement structure we have at City Hall. They wade through all of these details week after week after week and brought us a very clear vision on what I'm sure was a complicated set of facts. And I really appreciate it. I support it. I vote aye. The resolution is accepted. And Keelan, that completes our business for this afternoon, does it not? It looks like it does.
Yes, it does.
All right, we are adjourned. Thank you.
Thank you.